Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to preach a sermon tonight called Meditation. That's not levitation. It doesn't mean sitting and rising, but meditation. I want to help you tonight. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Let's read these verses responsively. Joshua chapter 1, that's Old Testament, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Right after, it's the sixth book of the Bible there. Joshua 1, verses 5 through 8. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let's pray, Holy Spirit of God, we need you tonight. I need you. Clarify my mind. May my lips speak that which is right in your sight and according to your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a very fast-paced, fast-moving, constantly moving, and information overload society. Good night. We've got cars to take us, and planes, and trains, and we've traveled through space, and you name it. It used to be that if you called to the next county, it was a long-distance call. Now people don't know what long-distance means. Matter of fact, in some cities, if you called from one city to the next, it was long-distance, depending on where you were at. We have cell phones, we have iPhones, we have email, we have texting, we have iMessaging, we have computers and internet and TV and radios and satellite imagery and satellite TV and satellite radio and good night. Information just is coming at all record paces. What happened to slowing down and people taking time to think? What happened to it? America has lost her quiet time of thinking. And please don't take this the wrong way, but the average person thinks very little. Most people don't think an awful lot. I was in my office the other day, and I was kind of kicked back with my feet up on my desk, and I was literally just thinking about one thought. I was working on this morning's sermon, one thought. Mrs. Moore walked through the door. She said, "What you doing, preacher?" I said, "Thinking." I wasn't sleeping, I was thinking. I was thinking about one statement to make this morning that I made. How can I word it? Can I word it the right way? How does this need done, Lord? Let's think through this. Let's look at it at every angle. I just sat there, and for 10 minutes, I was thinking about one statement made in one sermon. 10 minutes. What happened to living and thinking? We live, and I'm going to make a statement here, we live to be amused. The word amuse means no think. Ah, meaning no, muse means think. An amusement park is a no-thinking place. They do all the thinking for you. Entertainment is amusement or no-thinking. If you took the computer away from the average person and their cell phone, they couldn't do enough work to pay their bills for a day. They wouldn't know what to do. Matter of fact, if you took their computer away, took their cell phone away, or you just removed Google, most of them wouldn't know what to do at a library. You know, it's a shame. When I grew up, they taught you something called the Dewey Decimal System. Now, it's obsolete. They don't teach it. They don't use it. You go to the average library in America today, you go to a computer screen, type in what you want, and they tell you exactly where it's at, or they go bring it to you. It's not like it used to be, let me tell you. Now, everybody doing all right? Meditation. Meditation is pondering or musing over a thought or just thinking carefully about something. You know, it's much the same word as what we would use, rudiment. If you went by the fields today on your way in, you saw the cows laying down in the shade and they're chewing. They stand up and they gather food and they just chew it enough to get it down the hatch. And they swallow it into a big stomach. After that big stomach is full, like some of us, where they differ from us is they go lay down and then they start burping it back up and start chewing on it. And they chew it 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 and get every bit of nutrient out of it, and then they swallow it and then they bring up some more and do the same thing. It's called chewing the cud. They swallow it whole, and then they bring it up and chew out the nutrients. And they get every bit of nutrition out of it that they possibly can. Now, a horse doesn't do that. Horse doesn't chew its cud. They just eat, and that's why, it sounds crazy, but that's why a horse's metabolism and what they eat is much different than that which a cow eats. Because they don't take all the nutrients out of it. It just goes through them a little faster. A cow or a deer will do the same thing. They chew it and they chew it and they bring it back up. They think on it. They don't think on it. They chew on it. Chew on this a while. I'm not doing that. Now, thank God I don't have to bring my food back up and chew on it again. I do not want to bring lunch up and chew on it after a while. Okay, if you're doing that, you have problems, all right? The fact that it came up is a problem, but if you're chewing on it again, you really have problems. Now, meditation is much the same. You take something in, you think about it, and you bring it back up, and you think, and you think, and you think, and you think. I've used this illustration before. There's a pen. The average person, they said, oh yeah, you go down to Best Buy or Office Depot or Office Max and you go buy that. But if you actually think about what it takes to go into that pen, you have somebody that designed it. You had somebody that mined the metal. Then you had people that mixed the chemicals for the ink. Then you had people in factories that shaped the metals. Then you had people that put those in machines, then built machines that could do it very quickly, put it into the little card with the vacuum seals over it. Then you had people that had to be in charge of advertising for it, sales for it. Then you had people that market those things. Then you have people that have to take care of the books that go with it. Say, preacher, you put an awful lot of thought into one pen. That's called meditation.
Yes, sir.
Just went down and bought a pen. Yeah, but you don't realize how much work goes into that one little pen. That's called meditation. Now, let me give you just a few thoughts, and I think I can help you tonight. Number one, meditation is a key to success.
Yes,
meditation is a key to success. The word success is only used twice in the Bible. Once, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only other time the word success is mentioned is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want you to notice something. And honestly, the actual word success is only used once. But both times that success, prosperity, is mentioned together like that, it's in reference to meditation. Success and meditation go together. Did you know that you'll not be successful in school without thinking? I know that's hard to believe. My son, my oldest son, sent me this little video clip of, I believe it was from way, way, way back in the Ma-Paw Kettle era of things. And this guy was dividing 25 by 5. And the answer's to be 5. And one of them said, no, it's not. And they were showing in all these different things. And I thought, you know, in today's society, they would have gotten it right. And they'd had to count it right in today's public school because they could show their work to do it. That was the sad part of the whole thing. The ridiculousness of it, I laughed. I thought it was great. I sent it to one of my best friends from high school, who's now a math teacher, and she didn't think it was as funny as I did. she said, how did I know you would find that humorous? I said, your students will. Just show it to them. But we get into this lack of thinking. Did you know that school was supposed to be hard? It wasn't supposed to be easy. Did you know that God made your brain to work and to think? And the more you work it and the more you think it, the better it becomes. It's a muscle. It needs exercised just like the rest of your body. We're real good at exercising our jaws, but from there up, we don't exercise a whole lot. And usually from there down, we don't exercise a whole lot. not looking anywhere because I don't know who said it and don't want to know. You should take time every day to think. You need to meditate on how to improve or how to fix what's wrong or how to better do something or how to be a better person. In your job, take some time to think. My dad taught me a long time ago something. He said, one of the best things you'll ever teach somebody, especially in his line of work, he said, when you come to a problem, he said, first thing to tell somebody is, let's go get a cup of coffee. You say, why? Because you got to take time to think about it. Don't just jump into it. Right. You start jumping into it, you're going to do 10 times the work. Step back, clear your head, suck some coffee down, or noss, amen, Brother Barnes, you can drink all that you want, or whatever you call that stuff, energy stuff. You put me on that, I'd be like Ricochet Rabbit. Don't do that to me. Wait a minute. Take time to think. Back up and think about it. Before, I worked on some of the situations for the county. She said, well, maybe it's a state issue. I said, ma'am, I talked to the governor's office last week, and Mr. Caperton's office called me. Matter of fact, Mr. Caperton himself called me on my cell phone while I was in Kentucky. She said, Mr. Caperton called you? I said, yep. And the other guy on the phone said, how'd you get his number? I said, the governor gave it to him. Can you bring that number with you to the meeting? That's exactly what he hollered out. He said, we don't get that access. He said, who do you know? He should not have said that. I said, God. He said, that's not funny. He didn't go any farther. Neither did I. I didn't tell him. I called off the street. Matter of fact, my secretary called and left a message, and his office called me back. I said, this is what state said. Scott Marinello called my engineers, and they said, you talked to Scott too? I said, twice. Man. You say, how's that happen? I thought through everything. I thought through my conversation with the county before I called them. I spent hours thinking through, how am I going to word this? You know, you don't want to poke the wrong bear. They can make life very difficult. You don't want to do it the wrong way. You know, no life, no family, no business, no successful person will succeed without thinking. Too many people go through life without thinking, without meditating. Now, I'm going to switch gears just a hair. Meditation is a key to success, but number two, meditation is a key to love. Let me say that again. meditation is a key to love. You can't properly love unless your mind dwells on the love and the one that you're trying to love. Love is not what you get. It's not you thinking about what you want to get. Love is thinking about what you want to give. Love isn't... Okay, I'm 3 months away from Christmas. I can do this. Love isn't saying, okay, write down what you want for Christmas and we'll go buy it for you. Love is, I know you well enough, and I know you well enough, and I know you well enough to know what, and I'll look for something that I think you would like. Then I'll get it for you. It puts thought in. It's not me putting thought into telling you how you're supposed to love me. Everybody got that? Man, do I feel like I'm on an island again by myself. Love takes thinking. Think about somebody you love. And don't just sit there and say, okay, you know, Winnie the Pooh. Think. All right? But I'm saying think about them and then let them know you were thinking about them. That says, I love you. But also think of ways to show them that you love them. This afternoon, there was family in our church that wasn't here this morning. I texted them and said, I missed you this morning. Hope everything's okay. They texted me back, said it's fine. We forgot to tell you we were going to be out of town, and they were out of town. Great. And then they said, thanks for noticing we weren't there. I said, believe me, I noticed. I noticed. And you say, what was that? I was thinking about them. I know just a quick little text would have meant an awful lot to them. And the moment I had that thought, they said, thanks for checking on us. That means a lot. Whew. That's all I did. I wasn't trying to take attendance. I just thought about them. Meditation is a key to love. I'm going to make a statement here. Everybody, listen carefully here. If someone's cold in a marriage, and I'm not talking about the temperature, I'm talking about the attitude, it comes because they're not thinking. Or it comes by someone not thinking. Well, some people are just natural loving and others aren't. No, some people are natural thinkers and some people are not. It comes because of thinking. Everybody doing all right? I think we ought to have a proper... when you get something, it ought to remind you of someone who loved you enough to give you something. I have a black suit coat. It's the last suit coat Brother Hiles ever bought for me. I wore it at a pastor school 16 years ago. I can still wear it, by the way. That says something. But I still have it. I still wear it. Every time I wear it, I think about it. Now, wait a minute. I have a picture of me sitting on the platform with that very coat on right there with Brother Hiles right there on my iPad. I still have it. You say, what are you going to do when it wears out? Hang it in the closet and let it be there? Not going to mean anything to anybody else. It's getting wore out, let me tell you. You wear the same suit coat and you wear them as hard as I do, and I wear the thing a lot. But I've taken care of it. I think about him. Does that make sense to everybody? I have a couple suits our church bought for me a few years ago. Every time I wear them, I think of the love of the people that gave me those. This tie and this shirt, my daughter and my wife bought me for my birthday this last year. When I put it on this morning, I thought, my wife and my daughter picked that tie out, and that's one of my new shirts that I got. And I remembered them. My suit, I got at Goodwill. Now, wait a minute. I'm not kidding either. I have some hunting clothes that folks have given me. I have some things that I have different items that folks have given me. And when I use those things, I think about those things. You know, I think about the ones who gave them. And oftentimes, I'll just send them a note and say, I was just thinking about you. Just thinking about you. my daughter's got a project for college, and it requires lots of pictures from her past, from the time she was born on. So Tuesday, I was in the attic getting pictures, and I was in the basement crawling through boxes of boxes and boxes to get to where the pictures were, you know, all those kind of things, and finally found three totes full of stuff, and my wife was going through it. Some of the stuff that was in there, good night, we didn't know we had. And all of a sudden, she came across this letter that was written from Brother Hiles to my daughter. And we pulled it out and looked at it. And it said, "Dear Melinda, you," and it was dated a certain date, she said, and it said, "You just left my office and have given me a Nutrageous candy bar." She was 4 days old. I had a candy, I was holding her in my arms with a Nutrageous candy bar sitting on there, and said, "She wants to give this to you." He said, "I ain't touching it. I ain't taking candy from a baby." And he literally wouldn't. I had to give it to him because he wasn't going to take it. He would not touch it. But he went back to his office and dictated a letter that moment, a very sweet and precious letter. She'll be 20 years old this year. That's going to her. Do you know what that's going to mean to her? She's going to know Dr. Jack Hiles loved her. She doesn't remember him. She was too little when he died. She's only about 3 years old when he passed away. But she remembered. And we've got pictures of all of my kids with him and different things. And there's different people in their past. And it's just amazing. But I saw that letter. My wife, she said, "Wow." I said, "Yeah, you got to send her that one." That's a powerful one. And all of my children had gotten things from him that way. Here's one of the busiest men in the world I ever knew. Took time to write a 4-day-old baby. Said, "I just wanted you to know, I was thinking about you. Thank you. You got good parents." He did lie from time to time. Actually, he said, "You had a good mother." and some other very kind things. And I thought to myself, that man knew how to love people. Now, let me tell you a quick story about that. When he died, I was one of the pallbearers at his funeral. My son, Jeff, loved Dr. Jack Hiles. He and Brother Hiles were buddies. They would see him every Sunday morning and do something with him or for him. And they just spent a couple minutes with him. One day, Brother Hiles had his hands full, and he said, hang on. He said, "Let me get all this stuff in." Jeff just reached down, grabbed a bunch of it, and walked into Brother Hiles' office. He said, hey. He said, "This is my office, not yours." Jeff just walked right on in. He's a kid. He didn't know any better. And he teased around with him. I remember Jeff was pretty tore up viewing Brother Hiles' body at the church. It was about 10 minutes before the final service was to begin for his funeral. You have to understand, there was over 50,000 people that viewed that man's body in 26 hours. Over 50,000. Jeff come, and my wife motioned for me. I was up where the pallbearers were. She said, "Jeff wants to see him one last time." So I picked up my son, Jeff. He must have been about 5 or 6 years old. Had him in my arms. I walked over to him, and we were standing there. It was probably about from here to Miss Kim away from the casket. And Jeff just put his head in my shoulder and just started crying. Oh. I walked him back over and gave him to his mother. And I thought, Brother June, a man that knows how to touch the heart of a 5-year-old boy, deep enough to cry like that. My son cried through the whole service. My son cried all the way home. My son cried for an hour after he got home. Because that man loved him. That was his preacher. And he knew that was his preacher. Wow. I thought, he's not even old enough to really understand the impact of Dr. Jack Hiles. But that was his preacher who loved him. You say, why? Because Brother Hiles took time to think about him. And he took time to think about Brother Hiles. So thinking and meditating is love. That means calls, notes, texts, visits. Take time to think about it. Fellas, take 10 seconds in the middle of the day and text a note to your wife. Say, honey, I love you. I was just thinking about you. Can't wait to get home. Rather than, did you get this done? Did you get that done? Did you get all this done? Did you get the yard mowed? Did you get the wood chopped? Did you get all this done? We're more interested in the jobs than the relationship, as I said this morning. Ouch. All right, number three. Meditation can be done at night. Some of the best times to think is when you're laying there trying to go to sleep or when you've woken up in the middle of the night. Take your Bibles home, turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, let me show you something here. And this isn't the only time that you should meditate, but it is a good time to meditate. Psalm 63, and look at verse number 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Huh. Those nights that you can't sleep, lay there and meditate. Think. Turn to Psalm 119, verse number 148. Psalm 119, verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. You know how many sermons I've worked on in the middle of the night? How many sermon thoughts I've had in the middle of the night? How many sermons I have worked on through the middle of the night? Just a thought. I can't tell you how many times I have laid awake at night thinking a thought. I can even doze in and out of sleep and be thinking about it while I'm sleeping. Wake up and say, wow, God, that was really good. What about, and then I get up and start working on it, and whoo-wee. When, you know, you can, you, it's a good quiet time. Nobody else is up, unless the neighbors are out drunk. It's the end of the day, and you can use the experiences of the end of the day or the freshness of a new day to begin thinking. It can be done while you just lay there. Now, I know most of you don't lay there with your eyes open. You're slobbering on your pillow and snoring real loud. I'm not one of those people that likes to sleep. But when I do, I snore very loud. There are just things that you can, instead of counting sheep, why didn't you think? All right, and I'll hurry up and I'll finish with this point. Upon what should we meditate? What things should we meditate on? Let me give you just, take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Take your Bible, turn back to over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just a few pages over. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. Look at verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That means we ought to be thinking on those things. Let me give you a list, and I probably have about 9 or 10 things here. I'm going to run through them very quick. We ought to think about right words. We ought to think about truth. Can I tell you something? Don't think about gossip. Don't think about somebody's wrongdoing. Don't think about what something that irritates you. Think about truth. You say, well, it's true. It irritates me. Well, the more you think about it, the more it's going to irritate you. I don't think on those things that irritate me. I think about that which I can control. That's me. So think about right words. Think about what words you could say that would be right to fix whatever situation that you're dealing with. I often say, God, help me choose the right words. God, give me the right words to say. Think about right conversation. The word conversation is lifestyle. Did you know that you ought to meditate about how you're living? Lord, is there something I need to fix in my life? Everybody doing all right? That means this. I think you ought to think on how to do your finances right. How to rear your kids right. How to get along with your spouse right. Especially when they're snoring in your ear and you're awake. Man, sleep on the couch. Go to another room. Now, wait a minute. But instead of getting upset, why don't we meditate on how that we could love them better? Meditate on the word love. Finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8 is a very biblical outline for what you should think about. Think about true things, honest things, lovely things, things of good report, not bad report. Think about a right attitude and a right spirit, not how that you're going to get back at somebody. That's vengeance. Everybody doing all right? Think about your faith. The things of faith, soul winning, purity. Too many people think impure thoughts. And I'm not talking just about morally in a sexual realm. I'm talking about purity in other ways too. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Most of what people watch on television, most of books that people read, and most of the games that people play are filled with evil, not purity. Be careful. You wonder why kids grow up and shoot and kill everybody? Look at the games they play. Police officers will tell you the most dangerous person in the world is a teenager who has grown up on video games shooting at people. They're better marksmen than the average trained army sniper. Think about your Bible. Read the right things. Read truth. I'm not against people reading fiction, but I don't read any fiction books of any kind. It's not sinful. I just don't do it. Because I have to fill my mind with truth. I've got to fill my mind with right truth. With right exhortation, with right doctrine. Do me a favor. Before you read a Christian book and you don't know the author is right doctrinally, check out their doctrine. Brother Stolten probably going to get in trouble for saying this. But I'm going to go ahead and say it. I know people who have written good Christian books who later in life changed what they believed. I don't listen to their sermons, and I don't read their material anymore. Can I tell you why? Because I don't know at what point in time they changed. What did they believe when I thought they were good that led them to change where they are now? I get rid of it. Now, you don't have to. I'm telling you how I live, how I think. Right doctrine. I had a man recently tell me, oh, you ought to read this book. It's not King James, but he's right doctrinally. Okay. Matter of fact, they sent me the book. It ended up in the dumpster. I got through two pages and got so mad, I almost threw it out the window. After two pages, said, I can't take this. Got up and walked it right to the dumpster. I put it in a bag so nobody could see what it was and covered it with a bunch of trash so nobody else would say, oh, somebody threw a good book away. No, nobody ought to read that trash.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Why don't you take time and think of how great God is? God is great. God is good. God is merciful. God is all-powerful. God is love. God is all the different things that God is. And why don't you take time and think? Bible says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. You know, we think about all the wrong things. People who succeed in successful things, according to the word of God, come because people think. And I'm going to make a statement. You won't find anything more successful than that right there. That book right there has endured more success than all other successful things put together. Amen. Can I tell you something else? The average business should look at the model of the Independent Baptist Church because it's the most successful franchise business in the world. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Show me another business that's been around 2,000 years. I don't look at it strictly in a business light, but if you look at it that way, you'll say, there's some merit in that. There's a reason Thomas Jefferson went to an Independent Baptist church every service for a year before the Constitution was written so he could study the governmental structure between the people, the pastor, and the deacon board. Huh, three levels. And we have a president, a Senate, and a Congress. Wonder where that came from. Came from an Independent Baptist church. Amen. A lot of people say, well, Thomas Jefferson was an infidel, and he read his Bible every day. Many copies of it as well. And not different versions, because there were no other versions. you say, well, you're just, your education, it's not... you didn't go to an accredited college. You're right. I didn't go to Satan U.
That's right. Amen.
I went to a place that understood that was truth.
Yes, sir.
And what man says is not.
That's right.
Right.
You tell me who's got a better education.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? It's 7:02. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We need to take time to meditate. Every day. I think a child ought to be left to themselves to think every day. Not long, necessarily, depending on the age, but we need time to think.